So we continue our series, we continue our series, God's Holy Attributes. Last week we saw the only wise God, and now we're looking at the faithful God. Beginning with last week, after we had a 12 or 17 lesson, about a 6-lesson review following 12 lessons. Here we are looking at these attributes that are definitely connected to all the other attributes, some of the more independent attributes of God. You know, his self-existence, his self-sufficiency, the incomprehensible truth of who God is. We'll never get to the end of the infinite. We'll never fathom the bottomless. We'll never scale the heights of the unscalable. As far as God is, he is eternal, he is infinite, and he is immutable or unchangeable. And so all those will have tied into, as we saw last week, we looked at the only wise God, and we looked at the wisdom of God, who is the source of all wisdom, and the supply of our wisdom. And we cannot have any wisdom apart from who God is and what his eternal plan is. His wisdom is based upon his will and good pleasure, and the height of his will and good pleasure is the cross of Jesus Christ, the gospel. It's in the found in the person of his son and in the provision by his son. So today we look at that God is, we look at the faithful God. God is faithful, and I provided a quote there in the in your handout from the The Knowledge of the Holy from Dr. A.W. Tozer. And Dr. Tozer says this: God, being who he is, cannot cease to be what he is, and being what he is, he cannot act out of character with himself. He is at once faithful and immutable, so all his words and acts must be and remain faithful. He is his own reason for all he is and does. He cannot be completed. He cannot be compelled from without, but ever speaks and acts from within himself by his own sovereign will as it pleases him. And I needed to make my backup here. And I'm sorry, Brother Nick was distributing them. I don't know if he had extras. Oh, thank you, sister. So, having read that definition there, that was a pretty good definition. It was a full paragraph, and I left out a little section there. But basically, in that section that I left out, it was speaking of even in man's wisdom, or his faithfulness or unfaithfulness, it cannot affect God. Our faithfulness does not make God more faithful, in other words. And we'll turn first to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, as one of the primary scriptures. And like with the only wise God last week, that the number of scripture references for God's wisdom was innumerable. We couldn't spend time putting all the scripture references on there. Because there are references, like in God's wisdom, there are references that will not even exactly say wisdom or understanding, but they will touch on the wisdom of God by either its result or God as the source for wisdom being acted upon. So, in other words, the scripture references for God's wisdom, you might as well say Genesis to Revelation. Same thing is true of God's faithfulness. Here's another definition for God's faithfulness. God says what he means and means what he says. And you've all heard that before. So the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. And Brother Steve is looking at me like he'd love to read that. And I'll ask Brother Steve to read that for us. All All right, that's very, very similar to what the Old King James Version says. Brother Steve read it from the New King James Version. Verse 9 says, Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And it goes on and explains a little bit more, but as far as for a scripture reference, there we have that he is the faithful God. It speaks of some other attributes there, but we won't cover those. We'll just stick to God being faithful. And then turn to Psalm 119, verse 90. And you'll notice I provided three New Testament references rather than two old and two new that we typically have used. Psalm 119 and verse 90. And who doth? Brother Eric, go ahead. Read verse 90 for us.
Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth.
All right. That was from the Old King James Version. Again, it says, Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. There we see that God's faithfulness connected to the creation. He has established the earth and sustains the earth by his faithfulness. And it also presents God's faithfulness being eternal because it's unto all generations. Now we go to the New Testament. The New Testament does not differ at all in speaking of God as being faithful. And we'll, you know, once we get through some of the scripture verses, we'll tie up some things. Even though I didn't provide them because they're not as important, but you know, some of the word sources in Hebrew and Greek, where you have some terms that are synonymous or similar in meaning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Sister Etta, you're there, right? You look like, even though you are getting over a cold, that you want to read that.
1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
And it's exactly like the Old King James Version. She read it from the New King James Version. And even with the ye, I pronounce the ye, you, anyway when I read it. But God is faithful, by whom you were called, or ye were called, unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I chose that scripture reference in order to show God's faithfulness in its connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful in the truth of the gospel, and most especially in his people who are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. So his faithfulness, the connection of God's faithfulness to the gospel is very prominent in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians there, as you can see in that verse. God is faithful, by whom you were called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we'll actually speak on that in a practical application on the right-hand side of the page. We'll turn to the right a little bit more to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. The believers at Thessalonica. Chapter 5 and verse 24. Who wants to read that? Brother Willie.
He who called you is faithful, and who also will do it.
That was from the New King James Version, and the only difference is the difference between called and calleth. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians, not 2 Thessalonians. Sister Doris, did you have something? Did you have a comment? Okay. You just love this topic. You love the... Because I do remember that, and while I was preparing the lesson, I thought of you, sister, because you often in your testimonies, I don't think there's a testimony that I can remember where you didn't mention the faithfulness of God. When you talk about how God is faithful. And so I was tickled to prepare the lesson and think about you this week. And I'm sure the Spirit was ministering to you. Oh, the pastor's thinking about me again. I'm teasing about that. Brother Mike, you have something.
Well, this thought has been back in the back of my mind. You know, all these things are true about God. And God says, okay, Paul, go ahead and explain.
If you didn't get that, Brother Mike mentioned that he says that that God is speaking unto Paul, you know, as an apostle, and say, okay, Paul, all these things about me, go ahead and explain me. And so, like with verses like this, that seems very, very true. And that's a terrific thought, yeah, which is what he does. He explains Christ, he explains God. He explains the gospel. And
that's
and
kind of what Tozer was doing, too, here in this opening, his opening remark. Okay, I'll explain God.
Yeah. Brother Mike mentioned also that's what Dr. Tozer was doing when he, in his definition, okay, I'll explain God. And in it, he also said God's inexplainable. He says we can't get to the bottom of God. But we can express certain things. And with the wisdom, maybe not so much, but with faithfulness, and what will be the next topic we'll look at is the God of love. So we look at the faithful God and the loving God. And in those topics, we have so many pictures and so many things to grab a hold of that we can't help but to rejoice in and testify of and embrace a faithful God and a loving God. That is, our hope hinges upon those attributes. And they certainly, as we'll see, they do tie into all those others. Dr. Tozer mentioned that, as he mentioned, immutable. God does not change. And so his faithfulness is based on the truth that he is unchangeable, which is a great hope for us. And so all his other attributes tie into the fact that he is wise because he is self-existent and self-sufficient, and that he is omniscient, he knows all things. His faithfulness is based upon that as well. How can he not be faithful to himself if he knows all things and cannot learn? So with that, let's turn to our last New Testament reference that I have listed, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And if you're all there, because it was only a few pages away, I'll go ahead and, unless somebody wants to read that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse, Brother Steve, you looked up. Why don't you read that from the New King James Version, and then I'll follow it up with the Old King James.
If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself.
Okay, in the New King James Version, it says, if we are faithless, which says really the same thing as the Old King James Version. Verse 13 says, if we believe not, or if we are faithless, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Isn't that that is a great truth to just meditate upon and to grasp onto. He cannot deny himself. For God not to be faithful to himself and to his word and all that he has planned would be something out of character. And that's again what Dr. Tozer mentioned in his description. God cannot be inconsistent with who he is. Brother Mike.
It brings to mind, I am that I am.
I am that I am, exactly, which is, I think we started our entire series on this some months ago. Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, I am that I am. God is. He is who he is, and he must be consistent with who he is. And there's so many things there that we could meditate and dwell on. And that's something that I also mentioned, that if we are faithless, God is still faithful. Our faithlessness does not diminish the faithfulness of God.
You know, in the process of waiting upon God to fulfill his promises, in our flesh we have a tendency to just think like, man, he's just not doing what he said he was going to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A lot of times when I tell people about a lot of the things I'm going through with, you know, the Chinese kids and all these battles with the Communist Party, is that, you know, the Lord says to me, wait, but fortunately we can ask when. But in the process of asking when, we have to learn to just be patient and trust that He will, in His time, keep His promises.
Absolutely. Brother Ray was mentioning, without getting into all the details of what he mentioned as far as for China, which he sees that quite a bit, but that God's timing is through his faithfulness and his wisdom, which we looked at last week, all tied together to where he will perform it. And in fact, Brother Willie read that passage that though he says that that God is faithful, He will do it. So another way to say that would be He'll bring it to pass. And the place where we see some things that are very effective for us, that help us to grow in faithfulness ourselves, is that we see ourselves as being impatient. Well, why has God not done this yet? Because of the timing. And when we see that, we see these scriptures, God is faithful. Okay, He'll do it, but I guess the time isn't now. So I recognize that I still have the corruptions of flesh that are within my mortal being. And so those need to be subdued. I need to be patient to that. And that grows and strengthens our faith. And so patient, as we see in Romans chapter 5, the tribulation brings, you know, it brings experience, and experience of patience, and patience hope. And that hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So we see a whole process of things working there because of God's faithfulness. Doesn't mean He's not going to do it. It's just that the timing is not yet. Because in that faithfulness, He's also working faith in us to make us more like Jesus, to trust in Him for His timing. I'll have you turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And while you're turning there, I'll mention, did you have something, sister? Oh, please, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yes, Sister B, on top of what Brother Ray mentioned as far as the timing, because she was reading Galatians chapter 1, where Paul brings forth his testimony, and it says, when it pleased God, God brought me forth from my mother's womb and so forth, to be in that particular position that he was while the church was going through so much persecution, and Paul being one of the chief architects of the persecution that was happening in the Christian church at that particular time, but that God's faithfulness was even counter opposite would be an oxymoron, or opposing one another. It would be opposite of that which probably the church was thinking at the time. Father, release the relieve us of the persecution. Let us have peace and rest and joy apart from this persecution and the one who has been persecuting us. And so what does God do? He goes and saves him. And not only saves him, calls him to be an apostle. Even if you remember that in Acts chapter 9, that Saul's conversion, that as he meets the Lord on the road to Damascus, and Ananias there in Damascus was told to go to the street called Straight and told who he was to lay hands on, he said, Lord, this is the guy that's trying to kill us. And so we can see God's faithfulness and his timing in his faithfulness. Also through that, he says very much the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as you recall, that as he brings them back and rebukes them for all these things, because he gives 1 Corinthians the foundation of the gospel, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, rebukes them for all the things that they're doing wrong because of their faithlessness, but God is faithful. And then in chapter 15, before he talks about the resurrection, God's faithfulness, to raise Jesus from the dead, mentions the gospel in verses 3 and 4, and then Paul says, and me, one born out of due season. I'm one that is I'm a Johnny come lately. The Lord appeared unto all these disciples, and yet then he showed himself to me, and this is the power of the resurrection, to even raise me, and this is the meaning for the resurrection. So he goes on, God was faithful to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. As you're turning there to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, I mentioned this as far as true is in the synonymous term. We know that from the Greek, because when Jesus says truly, truly, or amen, amen, or faithfully, faithfully, or verily, verily in the old King James Version, it's the word amen, amen. It's a Hebrew word. Amen in Greek has the same meaning. And faithfully, faithfully, or truly, truly. He's bringing out a redundancy when he says that, but the word amen that we say at the end of our prayer, we're saying truly, we're saying faithfully. We're making a declaration that our prayer should be based upon God's faithfulness, and we truly believe that we're praying either according to knowledge or in the Spirit. We don't know exactly what God's plan is, but God, we want you to take over. In the Hebrew, the same thing, amun or amet, both of those words, which, with the one-letter difference, they mean truly and faithfully, or truth and faith. And so they're somewhat synonymous as they're used in the Bible. They're somewhat interchangeable because God is true to who he is. God is faithful in all he does. So 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. Who wants to read that? Brother Eric.
And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ, which is the true God and eternal life.
I don't. And this is not a criticism on John. I'm glad that he's so redundant. Notice how many times he says true here. He says true, 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 which is a different word than I was talking about, amen. I think it's the word aletheia here, which sometimes is synonymous with faithful. But that he is the true God, that he is true to who he is. He cannot, as we saw in the previous in the previous reference in 2 Timothy, he cannot deny himself, so that he is true to who he is. And we thank God for that. And then again, notice the last reference I give you is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, is the coupling here from Jesus Christ himself. The coupling of truth and faith, or true and faithful, and Jesus addressing, bless you. And apparently there is something going around. Pastor Jim down at Anchor Point is sick. That's why Brother Ray and Samuel are here today. And Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Who wants to read that? Brother Mike, go ahead. And of the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. These things write the Amen. And then he defines it. Jesus is the Amen. And then he defines it by saying the faithful and true witness. He is faithful and true. He is true to who he is, and he is faithful in what he has done, is doing, and will do. He presents unto us the truth of the aspects of God, because he's fully man and fully God. All right. We're going to move into the practical applications of faithfulness. I know this is a whirlwind on a subject that we could spend weeks on. Any questions so far, or any comments? I love that God's faithful. And the practical applications of this doctrinal truth, as you can see, God's faithfulness is not based upon man or his actions, for it is established in heaven. And I provided in the New King James Version there in your handout, Psalm 89, verse 2, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. And so likewise, where it says, though we are faithless, or in that passage of Scripture that says, though we are faithless, or though we do not believe, God is faithful, he cannot deny himself. Psalm 89, verse 2 tells us the reason why God, why our either our faithfulness or our faithlessness cannot affect the faithfulness of God. Because it's not established upon earth in fallen man. It's established in heaven from God himself. So Psalm 89, verse 2. You have something, sister?
Numbers 23, 19, and 20. It's just, it's kind of based, I think, similar. That God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received the command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I just love that.
I do, too. What was the scripture reference? Because I
Numbers 23.
23. Numbers 23, 19, and 20, if you want to jot that down and read it a little later. I quote that often. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. And it's a blessed one. And that full two verses there is, when you think about, also, it's in Numbers, and they're going through the wilderness wandering. And he had promised to bring them into the land, but he was working out faithlessness in them. And he was still going to be faithful. We know that from the book of Joshua, right? That he was going to bring them into the promised land, but here they are wandering for 40 years in the wilderness since they've been taken out of Egypt. And so through Moses, he speaks of the faithfulness of God. He's not a man that he should lie, because through the whole time they're grumbling. Through that whole time they are grumbling through the wilderness wanderings and so forth. Because it's at this point in Numbers chapter 9, they had been there for a year and almost 2 years. Almost 2 years in the wilderness. Where's the promised land? And they're grumbling. Brother Mike. That's a very interesting point, and I can relate to that in my own life. Brother Mike says that there was probably in the wilderness, there's probably much there for them to enjoy, but they were so busy complaining they didn't see the blessings of God. Sister, you're smiling. Did you have a? This is one of your favorite topics, I know. Sister Doris, if you didn't catch that, was mentioning how her daughters and granddaughters, her children, all her children, on down the line, they might give her a call and talk about having prayed for something and it hasn't come to pass. And this is why I love the elders in our churches, because through the generations that have gone by, as they have seen the faithfulness of God, to them, asking God for something is a foregone conclusion. It might not happen today, but they know that if they're praying in the Spirit and it does not contradict God's will, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yep, he does. So then the next one, God's faithfulness. By God's faithfulness, we suffer afflictions. This Psalm 119, verse 75 says this. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Now, at the very first, on the onset, you look at that and say, that's prophetic. It's speaking first and foremost of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 4, as you know, it speaks that he was smitten of God and afflicted. And so this is Psalm 119, verse 75 is as we all know, Psalm 119 is that golden psalm. It's the psalm of God's word. And so it speaks of Christ. But it's also a promise to us in John chapter 15, verse 18, John 16:33, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. As you know, we're promised in Christ that we will be hated by the world in John 15. We will suffer tribulations. In the world you will have tribulations, Jesus said in John 16. And 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But because God is faithful, we recognize that Romans 8:28 says, "For and we know that God worketh all things together for good to them that love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." And so there's a purpose for those afflictions. The afflictions make us more like Jesus. Your salvation is based upon God's faithfulness. Your very salvation is based upon God's faithfulness to save and not your goodness or willingness to respond. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, as we used as a reference, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Your salvation is based upon God's faithlessness more than it is anything else. Those God's faithfulness. What did I say? God's faithlessness. you have a station tube problems with that. Yeah, so her hearing is gone because of the cold influences. Well, I might have said it wrong too, because I do that. I sometimes say 1 Corinthians, I mean 2 Corinthians, and I get things, as we say in my wife's language, baliktad, turned around, because I'm dyslexic. And so I'm uncircumcised of lips like Moses. But we see that. That's why we give, God receives all the glory for it, because we're only responding to the faithfulness of God and the love of God and the mercy and grace of God and you name it, the attributes of God, God is. God's faithfulness establishes us and protects us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Sometimes we look at Ephesians 6 and, well, okay, now I put on the armor of God. And even as a young Christian, I know that children have done this in children growing up in a Christian home, they're taught to let's put on the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of the belt of truth, and you go through and put on that process of the armor. I did so as a 25-year-old man, because I didn't have the benefit of growing up in a Christian home, and I would do that. But sometimes we tend to think that when we're doing that, that's what protects us, when we forget that Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." See, it's God's faithfulness that protects us, that keeps us from evil, and that that establishes us. We become faithful because it's the same thing that we brought forth a little earlier. Our faithfulness, we grow in faith. We're strengthened in faith, and we grow in grace because God is faithful to fulfill his word in us. He's bringing Jesus Christ more exalted and more lifted up in our lives through his faithfulness. And because of the timing of his faithfulness, he is, though the immediate answer is not there, he is still faithful through the process. And finally, God's faithfulness brings us great comfort. And Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, one of Brother Mike's particularly encouraging passages of scripture he's mentioned before. It says, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us." Now, I'm glad I brought up that verse, because I wanted to tell you that what are the two immutable things? One is that God himself doesn't change, and what he has said doesn't change. In other words, he's faithful to who he is and what he has done. Now, because that it says like in between is kind of a parenthesis or a comma in the New King James Version, which is impossible for God to lie. That's just helping us with a little bit more definition of God's immutable or unchangeableness. He is unchangeable in his person, and therefore what he says is unchangeable. In other words, he's faithful. And what it does, because he is faithful, the strong consolation, you know, another word for consolation, right, is comfort or encouragement. Barnabas was called son of encouragement or son of consolation.
In other words, it's a promise.
It is a promise, and so our comfort is, in that sense, our comfort is guaranteed. Now, remember that as far as God comforting us, it doesn't mean that the situation and circumstances is going to be all unicorns and rainbows. It may be life-threatening. It may be detrimental. It may be unto death. It may be disparaging, and it may be full of affliction, tribulation, hatred from the world. It may be full of persecution unto death, but you have comfort through it. Because we're told to take up our cross. The cross wasn't a comfortable thing. For trouble with taking up our cross and following Jesus daily is we want to put some, you know, crushed velvet up there on the wood. We don't want to have any of the barbs and the mocking and the ridicule and the shame and the blood and the injury. And so there it is. We have great comfort in the truth that God is faithful. And I actually have to go get some more paper because we have a minute, so I'll have to run out. But are there any questions or comments? I know it was a lightning round on a topic that is huge, eternal, and infinite, because it's God's faithfulness, and one that we love, too. But next week, I think that the attribute, as far as my prayers have been going and I've been outlining, I think we're going to God's love next, the God of love or the loving God. Will probably be the next lesson. Brother Ray.
That's the one thing that as we imitate God, you know, being faithful ourselves, it's the one thing that even the worst of sinners in the world, is they enjoy being with us because they're faithful. The world is not faithful. So it's one of those blessed things that even with some people that may not like you, they appreciate your faithfulness.
Yes, there's Brother Ray was talking about how that even unbelievers are comforted in our faithfulness because of God's faithfulness. It just overflows, and there's a lot of scripture references for that we are a blessing to the world while we're in the world because of God's faithfulness to us and the faithfulness of God reflected in our lives because we are responding to his faithfulness, and it builds faith in us. So the closest thing that they can get to God's faithfulness is in you and in me. And so that is a biblical truth that is supplied by a myriad of scripture references. But with that, Brother Mike, would you lead us in a closing prayer this morning?